Hello, I'm Phil Svitek, and this is my review of Denis Villeneuve's latest film called Dune, or more accurately, as I should say, Dune Part 1. And no, it's not a spoiler to say that because within the first 30 seconds of the film, that's what comes up as the title on screen. Which, right off the bat, implies that the story's not finished. You know, for me, I should also mention that I had not seen the David Lynch film. I have not read the book. And so this was a new foray for me. And I was excited to jump into it and see, you know, what this was all about. The love for the book and you know, even the Dune film, the David Lynch one, being problematic, you know, still being a cult classic in a lot of ways, right? And so I was like, all right, well, let me see what this is all about. And I have a huge respect for Denis, you know, Arrival, one of my favorite films. I thought he did a wonderful job with Blade Runner 2049. You know, All Prisoners, I thought was a wonderful movie and so on, right? So I like him. And, you know, this seemed like a match made in heaven, you know, for as much as I knew, right? Again, I didn't read the book and so forth. So I was going in with a complete slate, and in that sense, yeah, I was surprised, you know, because I try to avoid a lot of just details, and I was surprised of like, oh, okay, so this is not a complete story, and that kind of bummed me out right off the bat because, in a sense, I felt bait and switched, you know, with the marketing, it's like Dune, 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 posters, Dune, 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 but it's like Dune Part 1. But that aside, I think, you know, there's been all this talk about, you know, go see it on the biggest screen possible. Denis intended it to be seen in IMAX. You know, this is a true spectacle and so forth. And it is. And that's where my problem lies with it. Like, you can't just intend to make a movie for the big screen. You should also intend to make a good movie, regardless of the screen. And that's my problem with it. I think it's spectacle over substance. The movie, for me, is overly drawn out for no real reason. It didn't need to be basically 2.5 hours. It could have easily been 2 hours. And in that sense, like, and listen, I don't have a problem with long movies, right? I've seen Once Upon a Time in the West. Movies like Possessor and In the Earth or Green Knight, some of the more recent ones, they have a slow, methodical pace to them, and I appreciate those movies because of that, right? You know, or like that there's not a lot of plot happening all at the same time, right? So a Korean film like Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter, and Spring Again comes to mind, where it's a very simplistic plot and you kind of watch it almost in real time, but it's absolutely gorgeous and beautiful. So that's not my issue, right? My issue is that it was like overly exposy at the beginning just to cram some of the stuff and not in an organic way whatsoever. And then nothing really happens and it's just, and everything's, it's almost like he took, he went to the Chris Nolan and the Zack Snyder school of film and took the two worst qualities about them. So with Chris Nolan, he took the idea that, like, let's just play, you know, loud music, and if there's dialogue, you know, who cares? We don't necessarily need to hear it. There's a lot of instances of that. And from Zack Snyder, he took, hey, let's use slow-mo and really, like, stretch out a scene and show tension and things like that. And it's like, it's not always necessary. And the idea that just because, like, people talk slow doesn't make it more dramatic. You know, if so, like, and that doesn't mean every scene has to be, like, lightning paced and so forth. You want to vary it. And there's just, everyone just talks so slow. So if a question, it'd be like this. What are you having for dinner? I will have what I'm eating for dinner when I eat it. It's like, okay, so first off, it's just convoluted. Like, it has to be this nebulous dialogue. And second off, it like just draws it out. There's times, like, just have a back and forth dialogue. It's okay. And because at the end of the day, like, what they're talking about, it's just, it lacks plot for me. And, you know, one of the suggestions I would have for you that I gave to my friends is maybe watch like the first 15 minutes on HBO Max. And if you like it, stop and get your ass to the movie theater to see the rest of it. If you don't, then just stop. Right? That's my suggestion to my friends, and that's a suggestion I offer to you. You know. The other thing, like, I think there's a lot of characters that come in and out. There's in every scene, as I said, like, everyone's made to be like ultra important, and yet not everyone is ultra important. And that just and part of that, it just introduces subplots to subplots to subplots. And again, it's not that I don't think you, and I certainly know for me, I'm not incapable of, you know, understanding and keeping track of these things. But it just doesn't, like, especially just because this is like part one, it doesn't go anywhere. It doesn't, there's not a real payoff. So, you know, as far as the acting and stuff like that goes, I think everyone's fine. It's just, no one's really stretched given the material. I think that most of them are just one note of like, just be overly serious. And, you know, whenever something mundane happens, like, everything just gets ratcheted up to the nth degree for no real reason. You know, there's a spacecraft flying, and it's just like a routine thing, and it's like, you know, nothing, like, from an audience perspective, like, you know, nothing is going to happen, like, nothing. This is just like, this is what we call connective tissue, like, you know, just a something to go from this scene to the next, and rather than just do a hard cut, we want to have a nicer transition. But it's like, you know, it goes overly bombastic with the score, as if like, pay attention, you know, even this like transition shot is ultra, ultra important because everything's ultra, ultra important. And it's like, why? You don't need to be overly serious in every moment because it takes away from the moments that need to be serious. So, those are my overall thoughts. I was not a fan. I know a lot of people were, and that's great. I take nothing away from them. I just didn't see what they saw, unfortunately. Now, that's my non-spoiler stuff. Let's get into the spoilers as to the specific reasons why I, you know, didn't connect with this stuff. And if you haven't seen the movie, you know, do yourself a favor and stop right here. Or if you don't care about spoilers, then fine, continue on. But you have been warned. So, I just think the idea that if you know you're being set up for a trap, meaning the house that Timothée Chalamet and his dad Oscar Isaac are in, that there should be, like, especially with them, right? The Duke and his, like, they seem to have a good, honest relationship, right? The Duke and his son Paul. So why not, like, actually express more concern, like, actually have human emotion, especially in those one-on-one scenes when there's no one around them, of like, hey, we're being set up. And, you know, the same sort of sentiment tries to break through when Paul is talking to Jason Momoa's character. And, you know, Jason's character kind of blows aside, like, I'm the best fighter there is, don't worry about me. Those scenes up front would have been better because A, would have had, like, it would have raised the stakes. It would have felt much more natural. And you could have naturally ingrained the exposition into it, as opposed to the voiceover at the beginning and then like this video projection exposition whenever convenient, right? It would have heightened things because it would have put them at odds, you know. And the idea that like, okay, you know, yes, I've been and part of that is, right, I know Paul's not supposed to like reveal that he's been having these visions, but part of that could have been part of the drama of like, hey, like, Dad, like we're being set up, and his dad's like, no, I know, but we have to do it, and it's like this is not going to go well, and you know, just it could have been set up so much better. And then Zendaya's character, right? All over the marketing for this movie, every press junket, so forth. Zendaya, Timothée Chalamet, they're right there. The hell does she do in the movie? She did nothing. Honestly, like, these visions that we were getting from him, from Paul, were basically a trailer for the next freaking movie that may or may not actually happen. Yes, most likely it will happen. But as of now, it is not a guarantee. And it's like, why? And the overuse of it, right? So we know that the knife is ultra important, right? And yet, like, you don't need to every 10 minutes just cut away to like all these shots of that damn knife. That's why I'm perplexed why people think like that. You know, oh, if someone didn't like the movie, it's because they didn't get it. It's like, no, I got it. In fact, with the knife, especially like towards the end when Zendaya hands him the knife, it's like, you're just literally hitting me over the head with this at this point. It's like, hey, stupid, just so you know, the knife that she's giving him, because it's the girl from his dreams, and in case you didn't know that it's the girl from his dreams, we're going to let you know that it's the girl from his dreams, and the knife that she's giving him, because she's the girl from his dreams, is the knife that's ultra, ultra important of what's to come and so forth. So pay attention, dummy, because if you don't, we don't trust you that you won't understand this highly complex plot that we have laid out for you. And that's my issue with the movie. It's like, if you're going to treat me like I'm smart, treat me like I'm smart. Don't, you know, so much of it is just thrown in so I understand of like, hey, pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. But because everything's one note, both in terms of the visuals, you know, everyone's always like looking and just waiting and looking and waiting and looking. It's like, hey, pay attention because they're thinking about something. Right? It just, you need to have ebbs and flows, and it just doesn't have that. Even the action scenes, I wasn't that excited. Like, whenever an action scene came on, like, for example, when they're out in the desert, and, you know, the worm thing is coming, and it's going to suck up the spice harvester. It wasn't that exciting. And again, the stakes are very convoluted. So you have the emperor who's running these things. You have these houses who hate each other. But then the emperor is kind of in cahoots with the women clan who have, in essence, produced this, the one, the Messiah, the person with the path. And yet, you also have the freemen who also believe in their Messiah that's going to, like, save them and so forth and liberate them and yada, 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 right? I mean, that's just, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but that's what the plot was to me. So it's like you have you have the same Messiah for two different groups who are really in opposition of each other. And yeah, just the again, I think the exposition part of this could have been so better finely finessed in all of this. instead of just playing up this stoic of like, yes, if the emperor wills it, we will do it type of acting. So, you know, I applaud the visuals, and I did see it on the biggest screen possible. I saw it on an IMAX, and the sound was fantastic, and so for like in terms of what it delivered. But you got to also intend for a good story, you know. And also, just as a side note, I hate the pitting against of a fan basis, you know, where like if you automatically disagree that Dune is great, then it's like, oh, well, Marvel's rotted your brain and you just want humor and fast pace and blah, blah, blah. It's like, again, no, that's, I like Marvel movies, sure, but I'm not, you know, I'm not like the biggest Marvel person that ever lived. I love movies, and I will go see Dune, like I will go see Marvel movies, and I will see The French Dispatch, and I will see, you know, so many movies this year that I have seen that people have never even heard of. Titan, right? The Palme d'Or, the winner of the Cannes Film Festival, right? As I may have mentioned, you know, Possessor, incredible, incredible movie. Came out last year, not this year, but still, you know. So I'm no stranger to movies of varying genres and capabilities, you know, in terms of how they're told and so forth. So that's not my issue with it. And secondly, I hate it, and especially I hate the idea that Denny bought into the question of, you know, because there was a lot of pre this movie, there was a lot of discussion of like, Denny thought that Marvel movies were just copy and paste. It's like, that's, what does that benefit? Why say that? And especially for someone that literally did a sequel to an 80s movie for Blade Runner, right? And then now is doing an adaptation. It's like, bro, it's not like you're the most original person in the effing world. So cut the crap, right? And I think you can like a movie, you can dislike a movie, but you know, to try to defend it one way or another in terms of like, oh well, it's because Marvel has poison brain. It's myopic. Myopic. And I think we need to get away from those types of discussions. So that's my little aside. So I'm glad people appreciate this movie. Again, it didn't work for me. That doesn't mean if a part two comes out, I will go see it, and I will try, you know, I will go in with as much an open mind as possible. I just, yeah, you know, the fact that I watched 2.5 hours of a movie, and it ended on, and this is just the beginning. It's like, really? You're literally setting up a trailer. And I know it was intended to be in two parts, but then in that sense, like, go make the second part. And it doesn't mean that you have to make the first part boring just to get people enticed for the second one. Anyway, end of my rant. Let me know what you thought of it, right? Very curious. You might agree, you might heavily disagree, and that's okay. I'm willing to have that conversation. I can respect your thoughts if you respect mine, okay? That's all I ask. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.